Today's topic is contemplation of mind. Contemplation of mind is my favorite talk. First, we should understand why so important to contemplate the mind. Citta Anupassana Satipatthana is one of the four foundations of mindfulness. So first, let us see why it's so important to know, to understand the mind. A first question you should ask yourself is, what causes us feel unhappy? So this is a question, first question you should ask yourself. Or under what circumstances you feel very, very terrible misery and so on. There's something in your mind that causes you to feel so terrible and so unhappy. And the second question, in order to understand why it's so important to know this topic is, what makes us go round and round of samsara, the cycle of rebirth? So these are the two questions. If you can find the answer, then you understand why it's so important to contemplate your own mind. When there's some defilements that arise in our mind, we immediately feel unhappy. For example, greed. Greed can make a people happy. For example, when your eye sees a beautiful woman, you feel very happy. But anger, jealousy, cruelty, when they arise in the mind, immediately we lose the composure of the mind. We lose the peace of the mind. Therefore, kilesa is responsible for our unhappiness. And kilesa arise in a form of mental factors. Okay? And because of kilesa arise on the mind, and if we don't have the skill to contemplate it as impermanence, as non-self, then deep in our heart, we have one very thick refinement called Sakkaya Ditti, a wrong view of self, or identity view of self. So this Sakkaya Ditti will immediately come up to the surface of the mind and grasp that kilesa, maybe can be anger, can be delusion, can be jealousy, and so on. So immediately grasp that kilesa as I, mind, myself. And because we grasp that refinements as I, my, myself, then we react to it. We react to that type of refinement. And when we react, then we perform unwholesome karma. Right? And when we perform unwholesome karma, I think every follower of teaching of the Buddha understand whatever karma one perform, leave behind karmic energy. And this energy may not ripen immediately because it takes some time for all the conditions to be fulfilled and the resultant will occur. Therefore, if any defilements that arise in the mind and we don't have the ability to handle it, then we are going to perform unwholesome karma. And this karma may hurt other people and also have a very bad effect on us, either in the present life as well as in the next life. Therefore, it's very important for a Buddhist who understand the law of karma and who do not want to hurt other people to know, to develop the skill how to contemplate the mind. I hope that's clear to you. Okay, now let us go to the text. Okay, let us see how Buddha said. Huh? So under the 10, Majjhima Nikaya, number 10, four foundation of mindfulness and contemplation of mind. And Buddha said, and how, bhikkhus, does a bhikkhu abide contemplating mind as mind? This sentence is so important, but most people cannot understand. Before I thoroughly understand how to practice, I also cannot understand. And I underestimate the importance of this sentence. So the important sentence is contemplating mind as mind. For us, we contemplate mind as I, mind as myself, almost immediately for most of us, most of people. But Buddha, in the first sentence, Buddha already told us, a bhikkhu abide contemplating mind as mind. So this mind means different state of mind. Can be the anger, delusion, greed, concentrated mind, concentrated mind, restless minds, irritating mind, and so on. So when this different state of mind, even one of the states of the mind that arise in us, Buddha say, contemplate mind as mind, not mind as myself, not mind as I. So first sentence is Buddha is trying to help us to establish the right view before you can carry on. So see mind as mind. Okay, this is an important sentence. Then how can we do it? How can we see mind as mind? Okay, then and how to contemplate mind as mind? Let us see what Buddha said in the next sentence. Here a bhikkhu understands mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust. This is the answer. So first Buddha tells us see mind, contemplate mind as mind. Then Buddha give us the way how to do it. So when the mind is affected by lust, then we should contemplate it as mind affected by lust, as mind affected by lust. Otherwise, we will take that lust full mind as I, as myself. Then we are trapped. We are trapped in the identity view, Sakkaya Ditthi. So the method is very easy as long as you understand what Sutta taught. Okay? Okay, then Buddha gave many different states of mind. Let us see. He understands mind affected by hate as mind affected by hate. So if you can learn by heart, whatever when hate arises in you, then you just contemplate what Buddha taught. Mind affected by hate, mind affected by hate as mind affected by hate. Then you lose the perception of self. You see it as a mental state. Okay? Then next, Buddha say, he understands mind affected by delusion as mind affected by delusion. And mind unaffected by hatred as mind unaffected by hatred. And mind unaffected by delusion as mind unaffected by delusion. For example, when the hatred mind disappeared, when the mind affected by hatred disappeared, then it becomes the mind unaffected by hatred. So mentally, you also should not make a mark. Now, the mental state is mind unaffected by hatred. This is the way. You see, the teaching is so clear and so precise and so easy. Huh? Okay, next. He understands contracted mind as contracted mind. Huh? Contracted mind is slow and proper. Sleepy. Huh? Sleepy mind as sleepy mind. Most people cannot understand sleepy mind as sleepy mind. The moment he feels sleepy, then he feels, I am sleepy, I am sleepy. So the moment the mental state arises, then he immediately identifies that state as mind as myself already. Why? Simply because in the long, long samsara, it is our habit, habitual reaction to identify every state of the mind as I, mind, myself. And it becomes our habitual reaction, almost spontaneously. So to undo this habitual reaction to identify every state of mind as I and myself, we need very strong or alert mindfulness. We will talk this later, okay? And he understands distracted mind as distracted mind. When distracted mind disappear, and he understands the mind unaffected by distraction. Then if he can understand this, then he understands impermanent. He understands cause and condition. He understands non-self of every mind state. Okay, so I'm not going to read all the state of the mind because some are very high state of mind. It's not our concern at this moment, right? So, okay, let us explain a little bit further to make all the statement clear. Okay, first, in order to contemplate your mind, the first thing you should develop and cultivate is mindfulness, sati. For example, the anger arises in you. If you don't have sati, mindfulness, to know what is happening in your mind, then how are you going to contemplate mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger? Right? You cannot do it. Therefore, important, the first point you should do is to arouse your mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness means very alert awareness. Very alert. Alert is very important. The absence of confusion. And the alertness of your mind to know, oh, anger has arisen. For those who don't have this type of sharp mindfulness, then you can check your body. Your body's reaction. For example, your body is calm. Then suddenly you feel hot. Then something happened in your mind already. Can be the irritation, can be the agitation that produce fire element in your body. So if, because some people, especially men, men are very insensitive towards his own mind. Okay? So sometimes the anger arises, they don't know. They have to check their body first. Oh, the body become hot. Only they know, the anger has arisen in their mind. But for women, for my student, the women are more sensitive towards the state of mind. So for those who are sensitive to the state of the mind, they don't have to see the bodily reaction in order to know what is the mental state. The correct way of doing is the mental state affects the body. So if you can know your mental state first, then you can neglect the reaction of the body. Okay? So first, mindfulness. Your mind is always alert, not blur, but very alert to know what's happening in your mind. So the moment you feel the anger has arisen, And sorry, and this mindfulness also means absence of confusion, also means not forgetful. The mind is always alert, not forgetful. And mindfulness also has the meaning of non-reaction. You aware without further reaction. For example, the anger has arisen in me. I immediately react. Then, no, this is no mindfulness. We call it lapse of mindfulness because you already react, right? Therefore, when anger has arisen in us, then as long as we have the alertness, very, very alert of mind, then we know, oh, anger has arisen in us. And we don't react. Okay? If you react, then you lose your mindfulness. So mindfulness also means the present of mind without reaction, without further reaction. The alertness of the mind without react to the state of the mind. Or bare awareness, bare knowing. All these are the definition of mindfulness. So the moment you know, okay, anger has arisen, then you applied what Buddha taught. How to contemplate? You contemplate mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. Repeatedly, not only one, repeatedly, maybe 5 times, 6 times. Then, although when the moment you contemplate mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, then at that moment, you are removing the identity view, Sakkaya Ditthi. We should remember all Buddhists or anyone who wish to become Sotapan, who wish to become a stream enterer, the first thing he has to deal is Sakkaya Ditthi, identity view. If he can do away with identity view, then he is walking closer to the enlightenment, first enlightenment, attainment of stream enterer. Therefore, if you can note your mind, mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, you are walking closer to your goal. Because at that moment, your mind loses the perception of eternal, a permanent self. And you understand, oh, it's just a state of mind affected by certain defilement. So I hope you can understand, you can see how powerful is this contemplation. Some teacher teach contemplate anger. I think still not enough. If you contemplate anger, then you may become more and more angry, right? It is possible. So therefore, I don't agree with that type of noting. But what Buddha says is mind affected by anger is mind affected by anger. Mind affected by slow and proper is mind affected by slow and proper. So you see it as a mental state arising and passing away. You don't see it as I, mind, myself. It's essential. And this point is very important for all practitioners. Okay? Then later on, because our time is very short, so I only will take one state of mind to explain. Then once you understand the way, then you can apply to all states of the mind. It's the same thing. Okay? So we will take only one, the mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, because it's very common in us. And we always lose our temper because of, external, impingement to the senses. So it's important for us to develop this skill and this mindfulness in a way, method, so to help ourselves to have peace and to help ourselves to lessen our habitual reaction that creates karma. Okay? So first, as I have already explained to you, the understand when anger arises in you, first arouse your mindfulness. And after you arouse your mindfulness, know, then mentally note, or mentally contemplate mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. Mm-hmm. Repeatedly. This is called mindfulness. Okay, then let us see what Buddha teach next. As when you contemplate in that way, mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, then for many people, they will see anger start to subside. Without you do anything, anger start to subside. If anger is not subsiding, then we have further way of contemplate it. But I want to follow what Buddha's teaching first. So let us see what Buddha taught. And so in this way, so in the first part, you contemplate whatever state of mind arise in you, such as mind affected by anger, as mind affected by anger, mind affected by delusion, as mind affected by delusion, mind affected by slow and torpor, mind affected by restlessness, and so on. Keep on contemplating it by way of mindfulness. Then next, then you become used to it. You get more familiar to it. Now, let's see what Buddha say. Now, we are moving to the insight already. First part is mindfulness, the training of mindfulness, developing your mindfulness, sati only. Now, Buddha go to the insight meditation. Okay, let's see what Buddha say. In this way, he advises contemplating mind as mind internally. Or he advises contemplating mind as mind externally. This most the modern teacher, nowadays most meditation teacher neglect or ignore or forget to teach externally. Most of us emphasize on internal anger, internal lust, internal slow and torpor, internal restlessness, and so on. Internal compassion, internal loving kindness, and so on. But here Buddha says, he advises contemplating mind as mind externally as well. So externally is also important for us to develop more and more wisdom, and as well as understanding and detachment. Okay, let's say now with strong mindfulness, you understand already whatever state arise in your mind. It's just a state of mind affected by certain defilement. It's not I, not mine, not myself. You already understand through mindfulness, through the repeated practice. So now you should move to the external person. It can be your family members, your colleague, your boss, your friend. For example, you are scolded by your boss. Then, first you contemplate your own anger. The mind affected by anger is mind affected by irritation. Keep on contemplating yourself. And when your anger subsides, and yet your boss anger is still there, he still throw his anger to you, then you move to the external. See your boss anger as his anger is also mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. So you don't see your boss as a person. Instead, you see your boss as state of mind. And this state of mind is changing. It's not stable all the time. So you just see him as a state of mind affected by anger, as affected by anger. So if you can practice in this way, internally as well as externally, then your anger find no person. Now there's no person. It's just a state of mind produced by condition. And we all know, as a Buddhist, we all know a state of mind produced by condition is impermanent, right? It's impermanent because conditions change all the time. Your boss cannot stay, the boss is not going to scold you throughout the day. He gets tired first, right? So his state of mind also will change. Therefore, so if you can see your state of mind affected by anger, and also the state of the mind of boss also affected by anger, then you find you see no person, no I, no he, no she, no you. Then the anger find no object to attach to. The anger find no foothold or object to attach to, then the anger will collapse and no more. Leave you on the spot. Then you become peace again. Right? So it's very, how call, easy way. Very easy if you know the technique and the method, of course. Okay? So this is called externally. You can apply this to your, if you have too much attachment to your family, then you can see that attachment. The mind affected by lust is the mind affected by lust. And if your spouse has the strong attachment to you as well, you also can contemplate their mind, a state of mind affected by attachment, a state of mind affected by attachment. Then you don't see a person being, then your attachment will not develop further and further. Okay? So this is important to see internally as well as externally, so that you understand there's no I, no she, no a person, no he. This ultimate truth of the Dhamma. Okay? As a practitioner, we want to reach ultimate truth, not live in a conventional truth all the time. If you live in a conventional truth, you see your mom, yes, mom as a person, you see your beloved one as a person, you see the person, the hated one as a person, then you are not going to develop further in your spiritual attainment. Okay, so next, let's see what Buddha said. Or else he advised contemplating in mind is arising factors. Or he advised contemplating in mind is vanishing factors. This is the insight meditation. The yogi now start to contemplate another two important point. So in this sentence, he said, or else he advised contemplating in mind is arising factors. Arising factors include two important aspects. One is arising, impermanent, arising and falling factors. He said that he advised contemplating in mind is arising factors. He advised contemplating in mind is vanishing factors. So arising and vanishing represent what? Represent impermanent, right? Represent anicca, arising and passing. Okay, so now the yogi start to contemplate arising and passing, which is vipassana. Okay, so this is one point. The second point, in this sentence, arising factors and the vanishing factors also shows that arising is dependent. Vanishing is also dependent on something. So arising is dependent origination. Vanishing is also dependent on cessation. So in this sentence, in these two sentences, what the yogis must do is to first to contemplate either dependent origination first, or to contemplate anicca first, impermanent. For example, let's say the proper way is to start with dependent origination. So the anger, let's say, when the anger arises in you, with mindfulness, you know, so the mind affected by anger is the mind affected by anger. Huh? You know already, right? Then, you investigate by way of dependent origination. Why the anger state of the mind arises? As a Buddhist practitioner, we always understand nothing arises without causes. This point must be with you all the time, right? So nothing arises without causes. So you must investigate first. Once you have had, you already know the anger state arises in you, then you further investigate what caused the anger to arise. Let's say somebody shouted at you, or somebody abused you, say something which is very unpleasant in your to you through the ear contact that cause anger, that triggers your anger. So first you mindful of, oh, my affected by anger is my affected by anger. Know it. Then first, then secondly, investigate what causes the anger. Oh, then you understand because of the abusive word, the word you don't like. So because of the abusive word come to contact with the ear, this is the cause. The effect is anger arising in you. Of course, there are many reasons, but this is the most direct, called proximate reason. The most direct reason. And if you understand this one, then you start to know, oh, cause and condition. Then you can contemplate the anger state as conditionally arising phenomena. In your mind, you contemplate, oh, this anger is conditionally arising phenomena, conditioning dharma, conditioning dharma, and you already understand the cause. Once you understand the conditionary arisen state, in fact, you also understand non-self already. Indirectly or directly, you understand non-self. Then you understand anger is not a permanent self. It's not a self, because when we say self, it sounds, the sounds, when we talk, when we say self, atta, it implies permanent. So but now you see the anger, no, it's conditionally arisen state. So it's not permanent self. So directly or indirectly, you already get the wisdom. This anger state is not self. And to see is passing away. The second step you should do is, in fact, for somebody, if they contemplate the mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, the anger has already subsided. If the anger has already subsided, he should contemplate impermanent. So to make a mark, to mark it in a heart, oh, all anger state are impermanent. If it is subside, if you do not mark it as an impermanent, I can say it's still less powerful than you mark it. Every mark of impermanent leave the imprint in your heart, so that your perception of impermanent become stronger. That is important, right? We don't want only come and go. We want the perception of impermanent becomes stronger. So next time, whatever you see is impermanent. Then you become liberated. So when by noting the mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, if it subsides, then you must make a mark. Okay, impermanent. Anicca. But if a person who are contemplating the mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, the anger is still there, then he should further investigate cause and effect. When you investigate cause and effect, you see non-self. So you should mentally note, this anger state is not permanent self, it's conditionally arising phenomena. Please note it in your mind for two or three times to let it leave the imprint in your heart. Okay? Otherwise you will forget one, I tell you. Okay? Then the third step you should do is now, because it's still there, it's not subsiding. So you should contemplate impermanence of that anger state. You can contemplate anicca, or you can contemplate vanishing, gone, disappearing, passing away. Whatever words that represent anicca, use it. Gone, gone, gone. So when you contemplate it, gone, gone, you should direct your mind to the passing away of the anger. Not only labeling. I'm not teaching labeling meditation. Okay. So gone, gone, you say gone or vanishing, vanishing. Then you also should direct your mind to see its disappearing. Why? Because sabbe sankhara anicca, right? All formations are impermanent. But if you don't contemplate impermanent, then your contemplation, because you don't contemplate impermanent and you entertain a perception of permanent, then it cannot carry, cannot match with the sabbe sankhara anicca. But if you contemplate impermanent, gone, gone, then your way of contemplation harmonize with the truth of impermanence. Because sabbe sankhara anicca. When it harmonizes, then the truth of impermanence reveal itself very quickly. And you can see it passing away very quick. Otherwise, the sabbe sankhara anicca, this state of mind is impermanent, but you hold on to it as permanent. So you cannot see the true arising, true disappearing, because your mind hold it, because your mind perceive it as permanent, although this one already is passing away, but your mind still perceive it as permanent. Then how are you going to understand impermanent? You have to wait for a long time, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, only see your anger subside. Then you already be burned for 20 minutes. You already be burned by for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and you have already performed lots of unwholesome mental karma. Okay, I hope it's clear to you. Okay, so mentally you should not impermanent, gone. Then check it again whether it passes away or not. When you note impermanent, it also helps your mind to let go. Otherwise, your mind has your mind is not in the Dharma. Your mind is not in the correct way of seeing things. If you do not impermanent, your mind is not in the correct way. It can be in the wrong perception of permanent, wrong perception of self, and so on. Right? Okay, this is the third step. So then later on, then you can see the subsiding of the state of mind. Then you understand arising and passing away. In the beginning, arising and passing away may come very slow. But as you become more and more proficient in the become more and more skillful in this way of seeing things or contemplating things, then the arising and passing away become faster and faster. Sometimes you don't even have to contemplate, it has already gone. Then I would like to say congratulations to you. Before that, you have to repeatedly practice it. Okay? Okay, let us see what Buddha said again. Or else mindfulness that there is mind is simply established in him to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and mindfulness. This is also a very important sentence. It takes me more than 10 years to understand before my meditation come to, you know, before my meditation turned to good, I cannot understand this sentence. But now it becomes so easy for me. Okay, so let me explain to you. Or else, mindfulness that there is mind. This is important one. There is mind. It's simply established in him to the extent necessary for bare knowledge to arise. So every time when the state of mind, it can be lustful mind, or can be angry mind, or can be concentrated mind, or can be even happy mind, sorrow mind, loving kindness mind, compassionate mind, and so on. Whatever state of the mind that arises in your mind, and if you can see it as a mind affected by what a mind endowed with metta, as mind endowed associated with metta, or mind associated with wisdom, as mind associated with wisdom, and you do not identify that state of mind, I, mind, myself, after repeated practice for a duration of time, let's say 6 months, let's say 1 year, okay? Then even 3 months, you see the result, if you are diligent yogis. So then after that, then your mindfulness becomes so sharp. The moment it arises, you know, oh, mind affected by this, or mind is associated with this. So you see it as mind, you see mind as mind. Then you understand, oh, your knowledge start to arise. There is mind, nothing else. It's the sentence. Or else mindfulness is so strong that there is mind. It's simply established in him to the extent necessary for their knowledge. Or another way of explanation is that you must practice this, keep on mindful of your state, repeatedly again and again until the bare knowledge arises in you that that is mine. This is only my state, that is mine. Mine is there, but no I, no mine, no myself, no she, no her, no a person, no being. This is what Buddha means. Okay? And the last sentence. Last sentence. And he abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. So, here, clinging, let me explain two words to you. One is in the world. The word here in the Buddha's teaching, whenever you see the word, usually refer to the world of five aggregate, not the mundane world. Mostly refer to the world of five aggregates of materiality, feelings, and perception, formations, and consciousness. Okay, this one thing you should understand. And the second word is not clinging to anything in the world. Here, clinging means clinging by way of view, wrong view of self. And clinging by way of craving. So as you keep on seeing, just a mind state. In fact, I'd like to put some extra knowledge. I want to add in some extra knowledge for you. So when you understand every state, whatever arises in the mind, it's just a state of mind, not I, not mind, not myself. Sometimes the question may occur to you. Okay, from where the mind comes. From where the mind comes. Sometimes it may occur to you, sometimes may not. If it occurs to you, then you can say, oh, mind also must depend on body. Right? So for human being, mind arise depend on body. Oh, then you understand. Oh, because of having the body, also we have the mind. Then you can go to the body. Where the mind comes from, then you go to the body according to Abhidhamma, if you trust Abhidhamma. No, but mind arise depend on the heart base. The heart base, our heart area here, there are so many heart base here, then every state of mind arise depend on the heart base. Then you can go to the body and understand the four elements of the heart base. Once you understand the four elements of the heart base, you understand the four elements of the whole body. Then you understand material aggregate. Because to understand mind is not enough, you also must understand the body, right? So when from heart base you go to the whole body, then you understand the four elements of earth, water, fire, and wind. Then you see more clearly mind and body, okay? So therefore, and he abides independent. Now he abides independent. No more rely on anything. Only rely on his own knowledge. Not clinging to the five aggregates, the world of the five aggregates, internally as well as externally. Other people as well. Otherwise, we do not cling to ourselves, but we may cling to our parents. We may cling to our spouse. We may cling to our sons and daughters and teachers, children, and so on, right? So you have to practice no clinging towards your own five aggregates as well as external five aggregates, okay? By way of wrong view, not clinging by way of view, not clinging by way of craving. Craving means this, mine, you know? The sun belong to me, and all this property belong to me. This is called by way of craving. Okay? Okay, that's how a bhikkhu abides contemplating mind as mind. So it comes the end of the sutta. Isn't that easy to understand? Okay, now we open for discussion. Any question?